This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello and welcome to the Adventure Mamas podcast. We are Ashley and Nikki, and today we are chatting with a new friend, Kelly Roach, who recently completed TrailQuest with her daughter. And I saw an article about her and was like, Nikki, do you think we can get her on the podcast? And so she very kindly responded to my creepy message, and now we're here.
Yay!
We're going to chat all about her experience.
Yay. Yay for creepy messages.
Yeah. And apparently she got a lot of them, I found out, just a couple of
them. I did. Yeah. It's been a fun journey since the article came out, but I'm so happy to be here and to talk about TrailQuest and hiking with children and the joys and struggles of all things outside living with kids and being a mom. So yeah,
we're super excited to have you. Can you tell us just like a little bit about yourself and your family, kind of what you guys are like and what you get up to normally?
Yeah. So I am a lifelong Virginia girl. So we now live in Loudoun County. We live just a few minutes from the Appalachian Trail, which is wonderful because we spent a good amount of time hiking it. And I grew up in a couple minutes from Great Falls National Park. So a lot of my early childhood memories are hiking there and playing in the Potomac. My mother was my Girl Scout leader. And so I was born, you know, naturally doing a lot of things in nature, and did that for many years before then in high school moving very close to Shenandoah National Park. So I spent a lot of time hiking every single trail in Shenandoah National Park during my summers in my youth. And yeah, I mean, nature has always just been a huge part of my life. When after graduating school, I kind of lived for the weekends and for my vacations when I could travel to hike and going places, going to some of the bigger places like Acadia and Yosemite and Olympic, and dragging my that my now husband on a lot of those trips. One of the questions I get a lot with when the article came out and just hiking in general, it's, you know, does your husband like hiking? And he enjoys it when he, you know, once he's out there. He likes making the memories with my daughter and I, but, I'm one of the types where I will plan an entire vacation around doing a hike, right? You know, mm-hmm. it's like, I know that I want to do this hike at Acadia National Park during peak fall foliage, and we will, you know, spend a week doing some other fun things. But you know, we're gonna be climbing and doing all those things. So we are, I consider us an adventure family for sure. And, it's not necessarily a core value, but I think that finding time to adventure together where we make a lot of memories and we're able to just disconnect from so many distractions that, you know, current society just naturally has many. I think that, you know, hiking or just adventuring in general gives us the opportunity to do that. So I'm really grateful that we have the ability to do it so much.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think adventuring can definitely be a family value. I think it might be one of our family values.
Same here.
Yes.
It seems from what you just said that like your whole life has been this way. It's not like you had a shift somewhere and you like grew into adventuring. Like,
no,
it's a lifestyle for a long time, it seems like, for you.
It is.
We don't need to ask if you're adventure mama. Like, we can tell you're one of us.
Yes. Yeah. No, I am. I definitely am. When my daughter turned one, I left my career that was in tech and public relations, and I started working just part-time contract work and became a full-time adventuring, you know, mother, homeschooling mm-hmm. mom, and my daughter is now six going on 40 is what I like to tell people. And so now, you know, that's definitely a lifestyle that we are able to embrace. So our a lot of the conversations in the different communities I'm in, especially with homeschooling, it comes up a lot, you know, like what your style is and what kind of a homeschooler are you. And I definitely don't fall into really any of the categories, and I kind of like to have my own category, which, you know, if like adventure schooling is the category, you know, that's definitely where we find ourselves, and we integrate so much of our life with nature, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, I think that Mother Nature really like raised me as a child. You know, I spent so much time outside and I learned so much in nature, and now being able to do that with my daughter. And you know, we follow some like loose curriculums, but I try to integrate so much with, you know, where are we going and how can we, you know, how can we make this kind of seasonal? And then how can we just integrate what is happening, like, you know, the wheel of the year and mm-hmm. finding different trails that can really kind of resonate and bring that home, whether it's with migrations or, you know, weather patterns and all kinds of fun stuff. So we're outside a lot. We, the 1,000 hours outside, we're like a 5,000 hours outside kind of family. I don't even know. I don't
wow. So aspirational, Kelly.
I don't do the count. But
we don't count because we're too lazy. I'm too lazy. Yeah. I'm not going to speak for Nikki. I'm too lazy to count, not because I'm like thousands of hours over, like,
right. Yeah.
I don't count because the girl's telling too many that. Other things living in my brain, like,
I just lost count. I can't count anymore.
Perfect. Well, there's like, that's where I'm at. I can't imagine. I mean, I know there's an app, and And the first, you know, when my daughter was really young, we, for the 1,000 Hours Outside Challenge, which I love, and I think it's a great place for so many people to start, right? Like, I think it's a great starting point for people, especially that don't have as many opportunities. Like, I'm very blessed to live in an area, like I said, a couple minutes from the AT, there's a state park just down the road where I'm on the interpretive team. And so I lead a lot of hikes with the state park, but not everybody has that, right? So I think that there, you know, there's great people out there that are doing these, using these motivational tools to help families just be like, okay, you know, we did, our goal is 4 hours outside this week. And, you know, that's a great place to start. So I'm grateful that those tools are out there to help motivate people that need that.
Yeah, that was really, that combined with the Exploring Nature with Children curriculum. It's a very loose guide for homeschooling. Those were the two that really got me back out with kids. And every year on my memories, my first tracker for January pops up where, like, I literally am like, we did 15 minutes today, and I'm sitting there with a colored pencil coloring in a quarter of a line there, because 15 minutes that day felt like a victory. And to see how the journey has evolved for me and how it's shifted into a lifestyle is just amazing. And like you said, like, it's a really great launching point for families.
Yeah. Well, and I love the, you know, early days, years, I printed off and then laminated, and I still do it. The hiking prompts. Have you seen those from a thousand
years? Yeah.
Right. So I love those. And we still use those. And then I work at my county's only nature preserve, and I lead monthly 1,000 Hours Outside Inspired hikes. So I just led one last weekend that was a lemonade hike, right? So we we go and we hike and then we have lemonade, and but there's so many fun ones. So like a pollinator count hike, there's been a watermelon hike where I've hiked with a watermelon in my backpack, and you know, surprise hikers after an uphill, you know, elevation gain, and we get to a lookout point, and I have chop up watermelon for everybody to enjoy together. And so, yeah, there's so many amazing ideas through the 1,000 Hours Outside Challenge that I love, and we've integrated those into our monthly routine.
Did you carry a gallon of lemonade on your back like you carried a watermelon?
You know, I didn't, because the potential prospect of the lemonade opening up in my backpack was so, and like destroying so many things, was so terrifying. The watermelon, I could control, like, that staying intact. But like a jug of lemonade, I mean, yeah, the fallout from that would be so bad. So no. I do often.
That was a parking lot treat.
Yeah, I do often pack some pretty bizarre things in my backpack for like children, like just, you know, just in case like something is needed. But yeah, watermelon, no lemonade. I have carried like 40 popsicles and ice packs in my backpack. For a popsicle hike. Similarly, you know, we hike up somewhere, and it's usually, those are always in July.
Yeah.
Which I am not a fan of the heat. Like, I do not, I think it's genetic. Like, I sweat so much, and it's just like Virginia, love Virginia, don't love the humidity.
It's a swampy place.
And so anyway, so popsicle hikes in July are kind of have become a thing now. And it's like, we're on like year three. And so, yeah. So I add like 20 pounds to my bag so that I can surprise a bunch of children with popsicles in the July heat.
You're a very kind hike leader.
Yeah.
I'm going to join your hiking group. Please, I want someone else to carry the popsicles.
Yeah. Right. Heavy.
Yeah. I have to carry the backpacks for all of my kids already. They aren't carrying a thing.
Yeah. My daughter's, she So like early on when I first started hiking a lot with my daughter, which she really started hiking like 18 months. I mean, we would go out and do, you know, mile and a half. So hikes. And she early days had a little backpack. And even if it just had like her lovey in it, you know, she had a backpack and, or like her lovey and like some wipes or something. And then we have steadily increased. It's a like 20%. The recommendation is 20% of body weight should be in your, in a child's backpack. And so now, you know, she carries a good amount of stuff. She's usually the keeper of like the most important things. So like if a child on one of my hikes falls, you know, I have like a little grab bag of fun, like widget spinners and stickers and an ice pack and some other stuff. So she's a very important hiking assistant, that carries some of the most important things on the hikes. But yeah, she loves having a backpack. And it's also a rule, and we had to establish this early. So, which is all actually, I just realized it's kind of ironic. So she collects so many things when we're out hiking. And I feel like
one of those too.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of children do that. Whether it's like a pretty leaf or a rock or a feather or just so many things. And the rule is that if she wants it, it goes in her backpack. I'm not carrying it because we've been places where it's like, there's so many amazingly magical rocks. And if I had picked up all of them and put them in my backpack, it would have been like an additional 5 pounds. You know, it adds up. So
yeah,
I love the hiking backpacks for children. I think it's a good way to, you know, to increase the involvement there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My son is 7 and we were camping last weekend or the weekend before. But we're on a hike.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And he had like normal size sticks with some cool lichen on it. And he had several of those sticking out of his backpack. And he had collected probably about 10 rocks. And then he moved on to branches.
Oh,
like 5 feet long.
Yeah, no.
He's just dragging these branches down the trail. I'm like, what are you going to do with these? He's like, I'm going to study them back at the campsite, Mom.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, who am I to get in the way of science?
Like, yeah.
If you're going to drag this branch for a mile and a half.
Yeah, that's dedication. That's dedication.
He's really dedicated to his cause. And now he has zero excuses for why he can't, like, pick things up and take them upstairs. So
good point. Yeah. Because that one time on that hike, you dragged, you know, all these sticks for a mile.
I've seen you.
Oh, you can put your shoes away. Yeah, that's true.
I believe in you.
Right.
You have unfortunately given me all the evidence that you are capable.
That's right.
Sorry.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So you and your daughter hike all the time, it sounds like, but you have also recently completed some very specific hikes. Can you tell us a little bit about like what TrailQuest actually is? I don't actually know, maybe you know, if it is unique to Virginia or if there's similar programs in other states. I'm not sure.
So I wish that there were similar programs in other states. Whoever's listening, I don't know if they can make that happen because I would love that.
Powers that be listening to the Adventure Mamas podcast.
Yeah, right. But I feel like it is such an amazing program to incentivize families and people to get out exploring the great state of Virginia. TrailQuest, and I wrote this down because we were extra with our TrailQuest challenge. So we, of course, right, we did not, the actual challenge, it involves 40 state parks. You know, we did 43 because
isn't that all of them?
So 43 is all of them, yes. But then there's also, there's a couple that are like
all the state parks in Virginia, friends, all of them, all 43.
We did all of them, but there's only 40 that are technically involved in the actual TrailQuest program. And there's no time frame, and it's self-paced, but it is a challenge to have you visit all of the Virginia state parks, and you are logging your adventures there. So once you visit a state park, you log it on the TrailQuest website, and once you reach certain milestones, and this changed during when we were doing it. So we have like a special like heritage first park pin, which I'm very proud of, because now the benchmarks are 5, 10, 20, 30 state parks, and you get a really cool pin. And then once you complete the entire challenge, you are awarded a Master Hiker certificate at a park of your choice, and they do a whole ceremony. And it's an amazing way to travel the whole state and learn about, you know, all the different nature programs and junior ranger programs and just all the different things the parks offer. And they're such a diverse, I mean, the parks are so diverse in Virginia, yeah. Right? We have every type of ecosystem here, you know, that you could want for the most part.
Yeah. We're coastal Virginia where we live. And so I keep telling my kids, like, it's going to feel really like we're very slowly working our way through the parks. We've done most of the ones that are closer to us. Yeah. And, like, it's going to be a lot different in these other places. Like, these ones all kind of have a bit of a similar vibe to them, but like,
yeah,
that's like, we're done. We're done with those ones. It's time to see what the rest of the state has to offer.
Right. Which is what, you know, same thing where we are, you know, so we're here in the Blue Ridge, you know, so we're in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and there's several parks here that kind of have the same sort of ecosystem. But then, you know, we were particularly excited to go to the coastal parks and to go to like the super southern parks and, you know, go to some of the parks that are on the Allegheny, which is, you know, a little bit different, and then go to the parks that are on some of the big rivers that we don't always interact with, like the James. And yeah, it was just incredible. We learned so much and fell in love with so much more of the state. And we can't wait to go back to so many parks.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah.
For the TrailQuest program, when you are like visiting each park, are there specific things within the park that you need to do?
No. So technically no. But like I said, for our personal challenge, we added elements to it. Mm-hmm. But no. So, you know, it's really just about visiting the park. The Virginia State Parks, they do have like another challenge that's Paddle Quest, where you need to, you know, kayak or canoe at certain parks that have the ability to do so. So a river or a lake or something like that. But for TrailQuest, it's really just about visiting the different parks and you know, what you do there, whether you camp or hike or kayak, it's really up to you. But we hiked at every single one. We hiked and we kayaked whenever we could. And then we tent camped on top of that, wherever it was available. So we like quadrupled down on the challenge and made it just our identity.
It was really, I love it.
Yeah.
Did you have in your like Kelly rules, was there like a minimum stay required and minimum miles hiked? And
no, definitely not. No, not at all. And actually, one of the things that I've struggled with since the article came out, that we had, you know, become master hikers is there's been so many people that have been messaging me asking for like my master plan. Like, can you share the details of how long you stayed and which trails you hiked and what you did, you know, for all the parks? And, you know, I certainly, as a proud type A person, like I certainly had an Excel document where I did have things planned and I had.
So you could share this.
Oh goodness. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So I had a lot of things planned and I researched before we visited places. I researched, you know, trails and I knew what the best trails were. And I have, of course, I'm aware of our competency level when it comes to camping and what we can endure during different times of the year and which trails are going to be okay to do in the summer and the winter. And you know, it's so completely unique to a person and I would never share that. I'd never share that with just randomly because it's the context is really important, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so incredibly variable. So, you know, that's a long way of saying yes and no. One of the Kelly rules that we put in place was when, you know, we'd be visiting a park and one of the first things we do is we go to the visitor center or the camp store, wherever we could find a park ranger and we uh-huh. would talk to them and we would want to hear from them what their recommendations were as far as what trails, you know, so if you could only hike one trail here, what would it be and why?
Mm-hmm. And I so love that question.
Yes. So we would get, you know, we would get their feedback and a lot of the times it was what I had already planned, but sometimes it wasn't. And so then I was like, okay, well, you know, we'll do that hike and see how we feel about it. And then we, you know, we're here for 4 days so we can do other hikes and you know, like Mother Nature doesn't always agree with your schedule, right? So like, you know,
how dare she?
Yeah, like we go somewhere and the nature of planning, especially something like this, like Mother Nature really changes your plans. Like we would, you know, like we went to several parks and like torrential thunderstorms and lightning storms. And it got really cold. It got really cold. It was snowing when we were tent camping yeah. And so, you know, you have to really be agile and not be totally set that no matter what, we're going to complete this hike, you know, cause then everyone involved is going to be miserable. Like that will be your takeaway. So I tried to, make sure that my mindset was one that could be flexible and just focus on the fun above everything else. And because of that, while we do have some interesting stories and I can now look at it and laugh, like, you know, whether it be thunderstorms or animals or spiders, bears, you know, things I can look at it now and laugh, you know, in the time. I mean, there were certainly struggles along that journey for sure.
Oh, I love it. What was the catalyst for you guys like jumping off to do this thing? Or was it always just like at some point in my life I'm gonna do this and the time was right?
That's a great question. So I found out about TrailQuest on my birthday, which is June 15th, and it was in 2023. So I found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday is the same as the Virginia State Parks birthday, which is also June 15th, which is kind of fun. So
we're auspicious.
Like, I know, we're like meant to be together. and so I found out about it and just the way that like life was just kind of shaping up that year. You know, so my daughter was 4 for most of that, 4 and then 5 for most of that. She was at an age that just seemed so perfect. I mean, she was just like thirsty for knowledge and her strength, you know, when it came to hiking and adventuring and just really wanting to be helpful and, mm-hmm. and wanting to go new places. It just all seemed to really align at that time. And, you know, thankfully I kind of had the flexibility with work that I was able to do it because, I mean, we ended up, I mean, it was a lot of time, right? I mean, it was a year commitment where that was a pretty solid focus. And mm-hmm. thankfully my husband was supportive of it. You know, we have a farm and we do have commitments here. And so, yeah, we kind of made promises, you know, that we'd always be back for like Sunday dinner and things like that. So, you know, no matter what, with a few exceptions, we tried to kind of keep certain focuses, but mm-hmm. yeah.
Everything. So you did 43 state parks in a year?
We did. Yeah. So we did 43 state parks in a year, and we hiked, I similar to 1,000 hours outside. I don't track the mileage, but we hiked hundreds of miles at the parks, and, you know, traveled thousands of miles, and we tent camped for 3.5 months, like in like total time of us sleeping mm-hmm. in the tent. So, yeah. Which, you know, because, and I think this is important, you know, to talk about that. Not everybody kind of has that work flexibility and, you know, financial flexibility too, right? Like we certainly were not staying at like bougie Airbnbs when we were visiting these parks, you know, and that was important. Right. Like, you know, there is a financial cost to traveling around the entire state and, and unfortunately creating a precedent of buying a stuffy at most of the visitors.
43 state park stuffies. Well, yes, how lucky are you?
We did not.
That's
we did
that
not
same ranger doll at all of them.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness, ladies! Like the amount of Virginia State Park stuffies that we have amassed is it is pretty incredible. Now we didn't get one at every single park, because not every single park has a visitor center. And then there were some that just didn't really make sense or anywho, but there are a lot of stuffies involved. So anyway, financial cost. So, you know, tent camping is something that I feel like most families can swing, you know, especially in Virginia, it's pretty affordable. You know, so it was important for us to make sure that this wasn't a big, you know, kind of financial burden as we were traveling that much. And so we really embraced that too, which was a lot of learning, big learning curve with that along our journey. Yeah.
So pretty much you found
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Found out about it, and then you were like, this is perfect timing. Let's go for it.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, we started... I found out about it on my birthday, and then we kind of, our unofficial start date was July 1. And then we finished
2 weeks. You planned for 2 weeks and then you went.
I did. And, I mean,
I'm not a hero.
Early on, we, you know, similar to you, I mean, like you know, you were going to a lot of the parks near you. And I also, I approached it as a purist where like I'd already been to several of the state parks mm-hmm. obviously, you know, for hiking. But even for the ones that I already visited, I went back to them during that year to make it be part of that.
Official. Yeah.
Official. It needed to be official. And so, yeah, so we started July 1 and then we wrapped up in July, you know, a year later and had our ceremony at the state park that is down the road from where we live. So where I also,
is
where
that the one you work at?
That's the one where I lead hikes and it was actually their first master hiker ceremony, which was cool because they were kind of coming online at the time that we were doing the challenge. So that was neat too.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I really resonate with that like purist mentality because similarly, I'm like, well, we've been to this one, but we didn't do the Junior Ranger program. So now that's like our clear, like my kids have the Junior Ranger badge. We have visited mm-hmm. and completed this park. Yeah. But then like national parks, I'm like, well, there are some that I've been to with my husband and not with my kids. And do those count for my family tracking? Like, it's not that serious, but it works.
Well, it can be. I mean, it can be. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It can be as like serious as you want it to be.
But
right?
Also like, I need to take my babies to Yosemite. I can't keep that to myself.
No. Like, yeah.
Our rule is we have a big map in our dining room with pins in it, you know? And
that's
it's
what.
Yeah. And I've told my, so it was a gift to my husband and I told him he can put a pin wherever he goes. I don't care, but he's holding a loose promise that he will try to take us there. So like he did a deployment in Europe where he just like hopped all
over.
Went to
a lot of places.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. all in like, yeah, like Eastern Europe. And I'm like, great, you can put your pin in there, but you're taking us with you. That pin is a promise.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I feel like just experiencing things with children is so different than experiencing them just as an adult. I mean, it's so different. Like it's so different and there's so many layers to it that, you know, just you both appreciate things differently. You look at things differently. You're slowing down. And, you know, you're more intentional with what you're doing at all those places. So like even the parks that we had that I had already been to many, many times, you know, I was more intentional about what we did that was more focused for my daughter and for her interest, right?
Hi. I'm sorry, Kelly. Bedtime is going rough today, I think.
No apology.
I think Nikki's office is also upstairs next to their rooms. So they know.
Yeah. No. I'm in our office that has like a very loud sound machine, like a therapist sound machine out front of it. So I can't even hear what could be happening in there, which we
could be anything.
It could be anything, but yeah, we lately, especially with the sun setting so late, like,
yeah,
well, just before it got dark, I saw my daughter out riding her bike. So like, I know like from this window, so we have very late bedtimes, like which is the beauty, right, of homeschooling. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have to wake up at 6:30 to make sure we eat by 7 and we're on the bus by 7:30. And so yeah, we're able to be really flexible, which was another thing about, I mean, TrailQuest, not that my daughter would have been in like a regular school at the time that we did it, but it gave us the flexibility to do what we wanted when we wanted.
Mm-hmm. Right? And it sounds like more or less that was her preschool year. Was that preschool or her kindergarten year?
Preschool.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. And like sometimes like people will ask me that and I'm like, what do you mean? Like what's preschool? Like no, but yeah, that would have been her preschool year, which just she knows more. I mean, her first birthday was a first bird day. Like it was all bird themed. She's always been obsessed with birds. Mm-hmm. I still think she might become an ornithologist one day and just that will be her path. But she can identify almost more than me. Like she can identify more bird calls than I'm sure most adults. And she can identify more. I mean, I've taught her so much. She can identify, you know, weather patterns by looking at the clouds and you know, so many different plants and trees. And she is a naturalist, like through and through. So like a hell of a preschool year.
Like learned way more than she would ever learn in the classroom. Like,
oh my goodness. Yeah. She's definitely, yeah. Adventure schooling for the win, for sure.
I love it.
Yeah.
Sorry about my,
you're fine.
It's a crazy night here. There's also a Shiba now under my chair. In the midst of all that chaos, there was a dog like jumping in the middle of it, trying to get up and see you guys too.
Oh no.
They just never all boring need to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Togetherness.
Can you tell us what maybe was a hard or even the hardest moment that you had while you were on a hiking journey, specifically with your kid? Because there's a lot of hard. And I don't want to be people who only talk about the easy and make it sound like anybody can. We want to encourage people to do adventures, but also like you got to do it despite the hard, you know?
Right.
Yeah. The hard is inevitable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of hard. Like there was, you know, there was a lot of hard. And if one day I get my time management or whatever together and I'm able to have some sort of an Instagram where I retrospectively share some of our stories from this, you know, this journey, and then we are continuing to journey, you know, all over the East Coast now, you know, I am very transparent with the hard because I feel like that sharing that authentically and you know, being vulnerable with those moments, I think is so important to share that with other mothers, you know, specifically, you know, parents in general, but because we are so often struggling with the same things. And, you know, as mothers, you know, especially like, you know, people that want to be in nature and be in the outdoors and be, you know, adventure moms, you know, you want your kids to like love what you love, like, you know, like, please, love hiking, like, please, right. Like, you know, like, I love this. Why can't you love this? Like, it's going to be fun. Right. Like,
right.
and so, but like all adults, like sometimes you're just not feeling it. Like you're just, you know, you wake up and something's off and you know, so we definitely had those days, right, where you just, especially with so much tent camping, you know, because tent camping in it of itself is an adventure, right? And you know, like you're setting up camp, you're cooking, you don't have electricity, you know, you have like a tent potty, you have so much crap that you are shoving into your car, like a giant Tetris, you know, maze with spiders and mosquitoes that get in there. And, you know, it is just, it's very heavy, just the tent camping. And then on top of that, you know, you want to make these memories in nature that are light and you want to do these hikes and so, yeah, I mean, you know, there were definitely some days where I had an agenda for what we were going to do. And it's, you know, you wake up and it's like the perfect weather, right? It's like perfect hiking weather. And you're like, this is, you know, like Mother Nature is calling us to go on this hike. But then your kid's like, well, you know, I want to go to the park beach and like play. And I'm like, do you really? You know, like, are you sure? Like, are you sure? that really, you know, yes, that's, we just, I just want to relax. And so, it was occasionally hard for me just to keep in mind that the focus is on the fun, right? So that, and our fun might not always align. And so you kind of, you have to make sure that you're keeping that front of mind. So that was occasionally hard, just, being flexible with that. And then, obviously,
I feel
I
feel like as moms too, when there's like those negative things and you're focused on the fun, I feel like I just try to absorb all the negative, which makes it pretty hard for me. It makes it a harder trip for me when like I'm just like gathering up all the suck and trying to
storing it.
Yeah. Keeping it out of sight for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can get like really heavy. Right? Because you're carrying, like, literally, emotionally, you are carrying, you're carrying so much. And you're trying to keep everything else light, for your child, which means that you're carrying a bulk of the burden. And for pretty much all of this journey, it was just my daughter and I. Just both, like, the physical and the emotional. I mean, it was pretty taxing at times, especially depending upon the time of year that we went. So going out in like the dead of summer, I mean, there were some, I learned that, you cannot pay me to be in a tent in July or even June. You can't, it ain't gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Especially at certain parks that are like just beautiful mosquito sanctuaries, you couldn't pay me now. Cold. I will tent camp in, 10 degrees before I will tent camp in 80 degrees. So there were a lot, the phrase about like sweat and tears, and there were for sure sweat and tears. And a mantra, I suppose, that my daughter and I really embraced when she was three, and she's very mature. I don't particularly like the old soul phrasing, because I feel like it's just very overused, but she is so wise beyond her years. And so when she was three, we hiked all of Old Rag, which is about a 10-mile hike. Mm-hmm. And she hiked it on her own feet. And we had, led up to it. And so we stayed at a little park, before. And on the morning that we were going to hike it, I got us these little matching mountain necklaces. And it has a little mountain emblem on it. And then on it inscribed, it says, "We can do hard things." And, so as we were hiking, the 10 miles, whether it was like a rock scramble that was pretty difficult or just the elevation gain, we would have to stop and I would just kind of keep repeating that, we can do hard things, we can do hard things. And we still use that, whether it's tent camping in July at Powhatan Park when we're just sweating through the entire night, or at Douthit State Park where we set up and it was a torrential downpour, like a torrential with like 60 mile per hour wind gusts off this water, beautiful waterfront tent camping, except when it's a thunderstorm. In my mind and with my daughter, we would just say, we can do hard things. We can do hard things. We can do hard things. I'm like crying, like, we can do hard things.
I feel that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever had a situation with your daughter that you needed to just bail out of? Like,
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Your instinct or whatever was just like, we got to call this. Or have you done all the hard things?
You know, I don't. So, like, bailout, not so much, you know. So, you know, there's definitely been scenarios like around safety, mm-hmm. not necessarily at state parks, you know. So a lot of our journey around the state of Virginia for that year, you know, we would go to a lot of different areas as well, because there were, you know, there's some hikes that are not within state parks that I, you know, like Devil's Bathtub is an mm-hmm. amazing hike in Southern Virginia. You know, and a lot of hikes that are in national forests and in the middle of nowhere, oftentimes, especially the further south you go in the state. And, you know, so there would be times where we would go certain places and my instinct would just be like, this is not safe. Yeah. And so we would bail out before we even began, right? It was like, mm-hmm. okay, like mm-hmm. we need to come back and do this with someone else. You know, we need to come back and do this with my husband, because it was just right. The vibe just wasn't vibing. And, mm-hmm. You know, even though it was, you know, my daughter and I, occasionally I bring my 100-pound dog, with me, but you know, we would bail out of those situations. I can't really think of an actual hike where we like bailed out of a hike early or like a tent camping situation. Cause a lot of them, you know, you've been driving for like 5 hours and it's like, well, yeah. Where are we going to sleep? Like this sucks. Like it's raining. It's a thunderstorm. Like we can wait it out for so long. And then like the sun is setting. So it's like, we have to do this hard thing because we need to sleep somewhere. So it's kind mm-hmm. of like, you know, there's, yeah. We learned a lot together. I mean, I learned a lot. I learned that there's like a lot of strength in myself that, you know, just comes out in those situations where, right. It's like, you know, you really have, like, I don't want to set up a tent in a thunderstorm, but I need to, and so I will
do it.
Right. Yeah. And I think that just makes you feel so powerful. So I wish I could bottle that up and spread that, you know, spread that feeling once you accomplish it. Right. Cause like once you do it and the thing is done, it feels so good.
Yeah.
But yeah. And there were a lot of those moments.
You've mentioned a whole bunch of trails and you said a lot of them are at state parks and things, but you mentioned that some of them aren't. You use a particular resource or app or planning tool to find different trails and learn about them, what you need to be prepared for, different things like that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything specific or are you doing Google?
So I like to let my apps kind of like battle it out a lot of the time. So I will not trust usually a single resource because especially in the hiking world, a lot of the information is like crowdsourced. So it's not always accurate. Like All Trails is great, but there's oftentimes serious discrepancies with the trail information. And so I won't go off of just that, you know, so there's like Avenza is another one. And so I have usually both of those up when I'm researching. And then there's like a website Hiking Upward that also will share a lot of trail information. And then usually the actual park or, you know, wildlife management area or state forest, they have their own trail map. And so between those three or four things, that's kind of what I base are planning around. It's similar to like weather, like weather apps, right? Like it's so important when you're hiking and camping to like have a good handle on the weather. So I have 4 weather apps based upon the average of those 4, you know, I make a decision. But yeah, the planning is important, right? When you're going outside with kids, you have, you know, I love spontaneity and so many things. But when it comes to nature, I definitely believe in a bit of planning. If you're going, especially if you're going out into like the backcountry, like you, mm-hmm. you have to have a certain amount of planning for safety, especially for if sure. it's a mother, you know, a mother and a child, or a mother and, you know, 2-3 children. It's pretty critical.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What kind of like safety discussions and safety plans do you have in place for when it's just you and your daughter?
So, and it is like 98% usually just my daughter and I.
Mm-hmm. But she's still quite young. Yes, she's 6.
She's 6. Yeah. So okay. My daughter's 6, and you know, we really started doing a lot of solo hiking when she was 2. We got really into camping when she was 3, and we have since done backpacking now, you know, and when she's 5. And so mm-hmm. we do have a good amount of safety discussions. One thing that we now have and I take with us everywhere is we have a Garmin InReach, you know, so it's a satellite device. So that when we are places, which you know, a lot of Virginia state parks are near cities and they're in areas where you have full cell phone service, but there are several, I can think of at least 6 off the top of my head, where there's no cell phone service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, I mean, that can be pretty scary, right? Like I really want to motivate women and moms to go out and adventure with their children. But you know, you really need to, the communication piece of it is so key that, it got to the point where we were going enough places where there was no cell phone service that it just became too much of a safety risk for us. And, you know, all the parks have, Wi-Fi at usually the visitor center. So you can do a Wi-Fi call. And so, you know, there's that, but if you're out on a trail and there's no Wi-Fi out there, which is great. Like I love not having Wi-Fi because you're able to disconnect. But in order to, you know, to communicate with my husband, it was usually my husband, occasionally, you know, it was a friend. If I knew he was me working and not checking his phone, you know, so I would always communicate, hey, you know, we're heading out on a trail. I send the location. And, you know, my check-in is going to be 3 or 4 hours later. And if you don't hear from me from this, you know, by this time, give it an hour, and then you need to contact somebody because we're not where we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So until we got the Garmin device, and we take that everywhere, you know, we were pretty strict on that. And then my daughter, when my Kelly rolls in, she always hikes in front of me. She always hikes in front of me. She never hikes behind me ever. So yeah, never. So, you know, side by side, okay. But for the most part, she's, you know, she's in front of me. And I think that that's really important. Like I definitely think that you should always have eyes on your child when you're anywhere in nature, really. I mean, I love a certain amount of autonomy. But you know, things can happen. And I will say though, there are some downfalls to that, because she has been the first one occasionally to encounter a snake on a trail. So being the
that
first
that was
one,
what I was going to, that is why I usually go first. Yeah. It's because I'm watching for
so
snakes.
Like side by side, you know, when we can go side by side, that's ideal, but some trails don't allow that. And yeah, I mean, I'm much more comfortable with her being in front than behind. Yeah. You know, and we know we We try not to hike at dusk or around dusk. I love a sunset hike though. Like I love a good sunset hike. However, if you're at a beautiful viewpoint at sunset, that means you got to hike back and it's getting dark. Mm. You know, because then you're getting your gear off and you're getting into your car at dark and you don't have the visibility in parking lots or you're not always the safest. So, whenever we do get in our car, we have a rule that, you know, we get in quick and lock the doors and, we don't dilly dolly around parking lots and where there's not great visibility. But I mean, it's tough, right? It's pretty tough with young children because you don't want to, you're walking a fine line of like sharing knowledge, you know, like sharing information, but not being frightening because you don't want to actually, you don't want to like share the whole picture, right? Like, you hike in front of me so that you can't be grabbed from behind me. Like grabbed by what, you know, and like we get into the car in parking lots because if there's a car parked close to us, like I don't, there could be a person on the other side of that car, you know, so we're going to get in on this side quickly and lock the door, you know? So like, it's tough. And I think a lot of that is really subjective to how old your child is and how mature they are and how they handle like anxiety, you know, stress and anxiety. And so, yeah, that's tricky.
It is. And we talked about it a little bit in our safety episode too, which listeners can go back and listen to, but that was a big part of it was like, how do we be safe without instilling fear? And it's really, mm-hmm. it's hard. My child, everybody is a friend with my oldest, the one who you saw dancing for you. He was like, who's that? I don't know. I'm going to dance.
Yeah.
And like, I love that about him, but also we have to be wise still.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I mean, it's a fine line. It's like you want to be friendly, you know, and there's so many different like hiker styles, right? Like there's some people and you're hiking and like you pass somebody and they're like, hey, like, how's it going? And then mm-hmm. like, there'll be, you know, like other people that are just like stone faced and they like, don't even acknowledge your presence. And so I always try to like be somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. And you know, I always try to really just have a presence, you know, of like strength and preparedness, you know, whenever, mm-hmm. whether it's setting up a campsite or unpacking for a campsite, you know, I think that there's certain stages of an adventure of camping, of hiking where you're kind of more vulnerable. And so I think that having an awareness of that and then just having a presence about you where, you know, others and you know in the vicinity are aware of that. They're aware that you're aware, right? So mm-hmm. I think that's important. And then and you can kind of trickle down some of that to your child. It's just, you know, teaching to have an awareness mm-hmm. in a way that's not scary. It's just like, hey, like I'm aware that, you know, there's a family there and there's, you know, X amount of cars in the parking lot. And, you know, this car is kind of parked closer to us. And, you know, it's just kind of like working, mm-hmm. talking through that awareness, not in a scary way, just in like a, hey, here's the facts. And, you know, yeah, this person, you know, I'm aware that this person started out on this trail, like right before us. So, you know, we might run into them and yeah. Anyway, yeah. It's tricky for sure.
That's good though, because I feel like I do not exude I hope I exude some confidence, but mostly I exude chaos, which is also very vulnerable. So that's a good personal challenge for me.
Yeah.
Like even if I feel chaotic, maybe I shouldn't like project it to the whole world. Like, hey, everything's out of control over here. Come join the party. Like, nah.
Right. Yeah. Well, that might work for you though, you know? Like, I mean, if the predator might be like, wow, like That's too much. Like, I'm not gonna take that on, right? Like, so that angle might work really well for you. I don't know. Yeah.
And here's to hoping. That's the only angle I've got right now.
Oh man, that's good that we can laugh about. It's good that as women we can laugh about safety things like that, because. Yeah, I listen to a good amount of podcasts that are pretty heavy on that topic, with especially with just, you know, female solo adventurers and hikers and travels. So yeah,
what are
What
are some good ones?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, National Park After Dark is a good one.
I can't listen to that one. It's too scary.
Yeah. So they're not always, you know, just about female travel, but just occasionally. And a lot of them aren't always.
What's scary about them?
Well, you know, so I just listened to one where, you know, there were tent campers that were attacked and run over by a truck. And anyway, so
my little sisters listen to it and then go camping. Like, they're like pregame camping with scary camping stories. And I'm like,
There's a podcast that's literally called Park Predators, which is another one. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think knowledge is power, you know? So I have a heightened awareness, you know, from listening to those things. And you know, like I said earlier, one of the most common questions, or not even, it's not always usually presented as a question. It'll almost be like a judgment, kind of like, wow, like, you know, you feel safe going out camping with your daughter, just you. It's not always a question. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay. I know what's happening. And, you know, I think that being aware that these things can happen, I think it's, you know, I think it's good, because I the more awareness that you have, and not necessarily like distrust, but just preparedness. You know, I prepare for a lot of scenarios when we are out in nature, which, you know, take some more work, but then I think that then feeds the confidence, right? Like the look of, you know, you feel confident, you're going to look confident, your child's going to be confident. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you're going to have an easier time out there, and hopefully you never come across one of those what ifs, like the really bad what ifs. But if you do, you know, you've thought about it, you've listen to a podcast about it, and maybe you'll be able to, yeah, kick some ass through it. I don't know. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I love to, I know we're running a little bit low on time. But when we were talking pre-show, just on the same vein of safety, you mentioned your check-ins with your husband and you told a funny story, but I want to know, can you share what some of your check-in process, aside from like beginning of trail and after trail, is? Because, I mean, I don't really have a process. I have a good morning and good night text to my husband, and otherwise my brain is with the three minions. So I'm wondering what system... you have that works?
Yeah, so that's an important question. When we have cell phone service, I always drop a pin, so when I'm still in my car, before we've even gotten out of the car, I drop a pin, I say what trail we're doing, I anticipate to be off the trail at X time, based upon what I've read and based upon, what I know. And usually there's an hour, I give like an hour buffer time, if I think we're going to be off the trail at 3 o'clock, I'll tell my husband 4 o'clock. And, because right, picking up rocks and stopping for a snack and this and that. And cell phone service, right? Like when you have cell phone service, it's not a big deal, but when you don't have cell phone service and you're using a satellite device, or, that you have to build in time to drive to somewhere where there's Wi-Fi, you have to build that in. So if I'm, and again, this is not relevant anymore because now I do really use that satellite device all the time. Like we were just a couple days ago, we were in Shenandoah National Park, which has no cell phone service during most of it. So, I did the same thing using the sat phone, which is kind of like, it's like a text message basically. Cause now they are more advanced than when I would go out in the backcountry back in my 20s, where you can send more than just a couple like letters, right? Like you can send a full text.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And, yeah. So I think the communication is so important when it comes to safety, and having a person that you can count on that isn't going to get like wrapped up in a work call and then like, oh, it's been 3 hours past the time and she said she was going to check in, and so it might not always be your partner, right? Like it might be your girlfriend, it might be your mother, it might be someone that's more available to you that is going to, that is going to really like follow up because I've been in this situation, which I shared pre-show. I shared that, we misunderstood our check-in time, which resulted in my husband calling the local authorities of the state park where we were camping, and he had a well check done on us in the middle of the night at 3 a.m., which was terrifying. My daughter slept through it, as she does most things, but I did not, and I could not go back to sleep from like 3 a.m. and, until I was able to make coffee at like 6 a.m., without bothering other people near us. So yeah, the check-in time and the communication is so important.
But like the miscommunication, but the system worked. Like
the system worked. True that. Yeah. And you know what? And that's something else. Cause it's like, I, as embarrassed as I was, like, I mean, mm-hmm. It was not humiliating, but kind of like, oh my God, like there is a sheriff at my tent shining a flashlight in at 3 a.m. asking if I'm okay because my husband hasn't heard from me. And I'm just like, I'm fine. I'm so sorry. Like, good night. Like sweet dreams. Like, we're good. Like, I promise I'm okay. But yeah, it worked. And he had the gumption to make that call, right? Because you're kind of like, oh, like, am I, like, she's probably okay. Like, as we've established, I go off on my own a lot. It's who I am. Like, I'm like a, gypsy out in the mountains. And, my husband, he made that call, which is hard, right? It's hard to be like, hey, sheriff. And actually, I think that there was some kind of situation where you almost have to like wait a certain amount of time. And so he actually had to like demand that they woke somebody else up to come out and drive there and check on us. So he had to make more than one phone call and be kind of pretty assertive about making sure that it happened. So yeah, like pick your person that is going to be able to do that, because not everybody has that level of assertiveness when it comes to safety.
Yeah. So was that like you missed just an evening check-in or like a daily, every so many days? What was that like?
So we had talked in the afternoon, and at the Wi-Fi, this was Douthat State Park. Is there somebody listening, a park ranger at Douthat? Thanks. Thanks for coming out. So Douthat State Park, which is in the Allegheny Mountains near Thomas Jefferson National Forest, there's no cell phone service at the park whatsoever. So you need to go to the camp store where there's Wi-Fi. So we had, hiked in the morning. We'd gotten lunch at the camp store, really cute little restaurant on the water. And so we had done a Wi-Fi call there. This was pre me carrying my Garmin everywhere. And so the conversation was, hey, we're just going to go back to the campsite and kind of hang out my canoe or might not. And we're just going to, cook out a lot at the campsite and then we'll call you tomorrow morning. And we had been there, I think we were camping there for the better part of a week. And so, he was used to us talking to him, almost before bed, after dinner, but that would have required me to have left the campsite to go back to the Wi-Fi camp store. And, I wanted to make a fire and you can't leave your fire. And so he thought that I would have checked in with him before bed, even though I had told him, hey, we're going to make a fire early. We're going to do all this, I'll talk to you in the morning. So we just got our wires crossed because it wasn't part of the established routine. It could have been worse. It could have been worse, but it was pretty, it makes for a funny story. And we have a lot of those. So yeah, we have a lot of good stories.
And then the action plan then is when a check-in is missed to call the sheriffs or the state police, or is it the park itself or sorry, my dog wants to get out of the office. He ran back in. Give me 3 seconds.
Yeah, so it depends on where you are. And I think it probably also depends on the time of day, right? So in our scenario at Douthat State Park, it was, 2 a.m. And so availability for calling the local, county sheriff, wasn't getting through. Generally, you don't want to call 911, if it's not an actual emergency, like I was not in a car accident. Or maybe I was, he didn't know. So he started at the county level, which went to a voicemail, which, led to a non-emergency number, it wasn't 911. And then that trickled down to the emergency person at the state park. So I think it depends on where you are. Obviously if someone's not checking in, you can always just call 911 and they will route you. They'll route you accordingly is my understanding to, if it's a forest or a state park or, a ranger with a wildlife management area, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I know I'm honing in on that. That's system that I haven't mastered with my family at all. So
it's important. Well, and especially when you're camping, right? I think that, hiking for sure. Right. Cause you hear all kinds of stories of lost hikers and, I think that for the most part, the hikes like a day hike, you usually have cell phone service. Usually there's a good amount of other people, but you never know, right? I mean, you never know, like we've talked about, Mother Nature can sometimes have other plans. And sometimes there isn't anybody else on the trail with you, right? So if you do have an emergency, if you twist your ankle out there and you're a couple miles in with your kid, what's going to happen, right? What is your kid going to do? Or if you trip and you hit your head in a rock and you're unconscious, what's your kid going to do? I think that these conversations are really important to have, and having that check-in having that check-in is 100% a part of that.
Yeah. Funny you say, like, oh, people get lost in the woods. Ashley and I both just finished reading God of the Woods. Have you read that
book? What you're laughing at.
I say it. So it's a good, it's a novel, but it takes place pre-cell phones. I forget what, probably in the 80s. Would you say, Ash, was it the 80s?
It's either the 70s or the 80s.
Wait, was this on the Appalachian Trail? Yeah. No.
It was in the Adirondacks.
It is in the Appalachian, yeah.
Wait a minute.
It's fiction.
Okay, it is fiction.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, okay. Did that?
But they're rural.
Oh, okay, no, different. Okay, different. Different book. Okay, wait, and it's about somebody that got lost in the woods.
Ish.
Kind of. They're looking, maybe. It's like a camp. But
one of the camp rules is that if you get lost, you sit down and yell.
Oh.
Like, okay. As loud as you can.
And okay. One of the girls found herself lost. And so she sat down and she's like, what do I yell? Like, what am I supposed to yell? They just say to yell. Like,
they never covered that. They just said yell.
Yeah.
It was important.
What did she yell? What did she end up yelling?
I think it was like, help.
Help. Yeah, or help.
Until eventually, I think she said she was just like bellowing. And this is for young kids too. So they were ages, what, 10 through 18, maybe, would you say? Maybe 14 through 18.
Huh.
But it's just funny. And they said part of, like, the end of the camp, like the final camp test, is that they have to survive in the forest, like, for a determined amount of time. And they said, like, it got softer every year. Like, the parents kept on, like, requesting more supervision or for somebody to actually know where the kids are. But they still, it's like their survival test, and they have to make a fire and find food and, like, do it all themselves. And it's a really good book. It's fiction, but it's, I think, what did I give it, Ash? Did I give it 4 or 5 stars on Goodreads? I think I gave it 5.
Did you?
Sure. I might have given
you're
it
feeling
4.
Generous.
Yeah, it depends on my mood. Sometimes I'm a tough grader.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like any kind of book that has to do with like outdoor survival stories, whether they're fiction or nonfiction. I love stories like that. Usually you pick up a couple, you know, tricks or something, and it'll usually leads me down like a rabbit hole where I'm like, oh, well, like, if I was in that situation, like, what actually do I need to do? That's usually how I read books. Like, I'll read something and I'm like, okay, like, how is this applicable in my everyday life? And then, you know, make it some kind of learning that I can use and take with me out somewhere.
I would be interested in hearing what you take away from this one, because it's interesting.
Okay. We'll do a follow-up.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. It's nice. Just, I don't want to give anything away. It's interesting. It was actually really fun because my family grew up in the Adirondacks. So, like, that's an old stomping grounds for me up in the woods there. So my grandpa had maple trees up in the, and he tapped all up in the woods. He had a bunch of acreage up there.
Did you do much hiking up there in Adirondacks?
Not much. My mom is not as outdoorsy of a person. So I would walk to the lake nearby, but I didn't, like, we didn't do much hiking. That wasn't my mom's cup of tea. She would have rather, she signed me up for Girl Scouts and they took me hiking.
Gotcha. Yeah. I've looked at the 46ers and making that be like a challenge with my daughter soon. So we're kind of in the process of thinking about, you know, other cool adventure trips or challenges, you know, personal challenges that we can make.
What are you looking at next? What are some of the ideas?
Yeah.
So right now, so since we finished Trail Quest, I kind of let my daughter like decide where, like, which state, you know. So and during the Trail Quest year, you know, we traveled, you know, outside of Virginia. We spent some time in Pennsylvania. We went up to New York, and we spent a good amount of time up in the upstate area during the eclipse that happened in April.
So
we made a whole like almost like 2 weeks out of it and went, mm-hmm. and I went to school in upstate. And so I spent a lot of time. I went to Syracuse.
Okay. Yeah. I grew up outside of Rochester.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I know a bunch of people in that area. Yeah. I love upstate. Mm-hmm. I love Adirondacks. I think would love to like spend like half the year up in that area. And, I love it up there. So we've hiked a good amount of time, there. And so once we're done with Trail Quest and there are, I think that doing anything like that makes you realize like how little you actually have explored of your own state or your own, you know, mm-hmm. your own woods. I mean, even in like my region, like there will still be places where I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that this nature sanctuary was here, you know? So there's a long list of places that I want to circle back on and just Virginia. So we were kind of voting between Maryland, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, and my daughter selected West Virginia. And so we have been adventuring around West Virginia, since that time. And we spent, a good amount of weeks there, in the autumn. This past fall, we went down to National Gorge, the national park there and hiked during peak fall foliage. And
what did you feel about National Gorge? I feel like there's camps of people who don't feel like it deserves to be a national park. Like it's not.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I absolutely think it should be a national park. Yeah. So I had been adventuring.
I think so too. We went a couple of years ago.
Pre-national park. It was one of the things my husband and I did before we had a child. We kind of had like a list of adrenaline junkie things where we're like, mm-hmm. we're going to go whitewater rafting when they release the gully. And we're going to be like, you know, we're going to do all these cool things. And we did that and it was awesome. And so I've explored it by myself and with my husband pre-national park. And so I think it's incredible. And we did some trails during peak fall foliage and it was honestly one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to in October, like just incredible. And Watoga State Park is the biggest state park in West Virginia, and it's a international dark sky park. And so, you know, the stars there, and it also is near, it's in an area where, again, like no cell phone service. So there is like a special satellite, designated satellite area in that place. So it's like a very quiet, very, very quiet. No, they had to have certain kind of rules and restrictions with technology. And so it is a pure dark sky place to visit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we're loving West Virginia. It's, you know, it's the most forested state in the entire country. And so much of the state is just, I mean, forested and mountainous and wild and rugged. Mm-hmm. So it's that's what we're doing now. And we have some plans for the rest of the year there. And then there's a chance that we might get into some long distance trails. So I've talked to my daughter and my husband about it, and we're debating on the timeline there. So either we will try to have a baby or hike the Appalachian Trail. It's kind of like, like one of those.
It's a really tough decision. Like
I know. Yeah. So it's kind of like we're kind of there. So we'll see what shakes out there. But I don't know. My daughter's game. My husband's game-ish. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. We're definitely hiking. We're hiking. We're gonna. So this summer. And I don't like summer hiking, but we're going to try to do some early summer things. We're hiking, we're backpacking through all of Shenandoah National Park is kind of like a mm-hmm. trial. So we're doing a good amount of, like trial backpacking trips.
Yeah.
To see, you know, how we feel about that. And we've already done some backpacking, but not super long distance. So, we're going to kind of feel that out, and that's kind of what our focus will be. And then there's a few really cool long distance trails that are like central, eastern, or in Europe. So I'm not the West Coast is a whole different game with different ecosystems that I'm not familiar with, and snakes and lack of water, and so I'm not going to play.
You're going to go like straight to Spain and do the Camino, yeah, and avoid the West Coast.
Yeah, no, or like the West Highland Way in Scotland. So there's like there's a semi long distance hike in Scotland that looks really cool, and Italy has one as well. So we'll see. We hiked a good bit in Norway.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. Well, no.
I want to live in Norway.
Taking hiking international is a whole nother episode that we can have here.
Yeah. Yeah, so we went to Norway in February and did some hiking there, and it was awesome. And Northern Lights, and it was my daughter's like dream to see the Northern Lights and Arctic foxes. And so we did a whole adventure there. Yeah. Norway's amazing. Norway's incredible. Yeah. We could talk. Have me back on. We can just talk about Norway.
Right? Just talk about Norway.
Yeah. Norway's amazing. And it's like, it's an adventure. It's just like, I feel like it's like the adventure country of the world. And the people there embrace adventure. How do we start this as like a family value? Like, I mean, it is literally, I feel like maybe more so than anywhere I've ever traveled to. It is at the heart and soul of culture in Norway. So love it.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, if you're looking at doing a through hike of the Appalachian Trail, it might already be on your radar, but there's a book that one of my aunties got for my kids. It's called 2000 Miles to Happy, Earl Schaefer and the First Through Hike of the Appalachian Trail. It's a super cute story about the guy who made the journey of the Appalachian Trail. And he's done it several times since. Okay. But it's a cute children's book if you're looking for immersion there.
Yeah. I wrote that down. I'll definitely check that out. Thanks.
But yeah, we have kept you way over time, I think.
I mean, I'm
our
fine.
Timer has gone off.
I mean, I could talk adventure until the wee hours, but yeah.
Maybe we'll have to do this again another time. Seems there's so many things we could pull from here.
I know. I'm like
a treasure trove.
I'm looking at the questions and I'm like, I don't know. Like I think the rabbit holes and the side conversations are usually where there's a lot of like a lot of little treasures in there too. So
yeah. I loved chatting with you. It was a lot of fun, and we should definitely do it again.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
Is there anything, I know you said that you started doing some social media stuff and then you pulled away from it. Is there anything that is public that you have going on that you want to share, or?
I don't have to. yeah. So no, well, not necessarily. I mean, and any adventure, influencers that have found the riddle to being a present parent and also being able to release content consistently. I would love to know what that magical algorithm is, because I haven't found it. And I have it's a private, group on Facebook that's in, if you're in Northern Virginia. But you can request to join. It's called Tiny Trailblazers of Loudoun, and it's the family-centered hiking group that I started 3 years ago this June. And we've hiked, hundreds of trails and probably now many hundreds of miles at different parks all over Northern Virginia. And I've done some guided camping, which was fun. And the focus of that group, anybody can join. I do subjectively check and make sure you're a real person. But for safety, obviously we're hiking in the woods with children. But yeah, the focus of that is just to really help mothers in particular, kind of get their confidence with taking their children out in nature and in hiking, and then hopefully, you know, instilling a sense of environmental stewardship with children. That starts in your backyard and then, you know, kind of continues on outward, which is really important to me as a master naturalist and as just a nature person in general. I think that it starts, you know, it starts in childhood, right? Like that's really where mm-hmm. that love and care for the earth, that's where you really need to start it. So that's the goal with the group and the hikes that I lead with the Nature Preserve in Loudoun. Those are all free, you know, so everything is free. So those are also free hikes that I lead. I lead a couple a month with, it's called Banshee Reeks Nature Preserve. And that's in Loudoun County and then also at Sweet Run State Park. So I lead programs at both of those places, and they all have to do with usually, you know, family-friendly outdoor recreation. So if you're ever in Loudoun in Northern Virginia, join me on a hike because I might whip out a watermelon from my backpack or a popsicle.
I need to see it happen.
Right?
I'm going to load up the kids. We're going.
Yeah, 100%. I'd love to have it. Like, join me.
All right. I'm just going to wrap us up then with, we'd love to hear from any listeners. Our email address is adventuremamaspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. Let us know when you go on one of Kelly's hikes, or your thoughts or opinions. I don't know. Just talk to us, folks. And then we're also on Instagram at adventure.mamas.podcast. We are on Facebook at the Adventure Mamas Podcast, and we have a new group to help inspire similarly to Kelly's group, but we are not leading group hikes like she is. maybe someday, but to just kind of inspire and encourage fellow mamas, and that is, the group is called Adventure Mamas. And until next time, happy adventuring.
Happy adventuring. Awesome. Yeah, adventure on.